I'm Kevin Kunzman, managing editor of medical news site HCP Live. Welcome to Doc Talk. As the days of 2022 dwindle away, we're taking some time to reflect on the biggest stories, events, and trends to highlight medical specialties through the last 12 months. The annual series, This Year in Medicine, is currently running on the homepage of hcplive.com, and you can follow along on our social media and newsletter channels as well. In the spirit of annual reflection, today's episode is a rerun of a prior conversation we had this year with Dr. Brett King, Associate Professor of Dermatology at Yale School of Medicine. Few pharmaceutical developments and subsequent FDA approvals this year match the excitement and importance of ruxolitinib cream as the first therapy approved to treat patients with the chronic skin condition vitiligo. Supported by a phase 3 clinical program portfolio that included data showing capability to actually repigment skin with the twice-daily JAK inhibitor, ruxolitinib cream was quickly regarded as a landmark breakthrough in the dermatologic care space and representative of a promising drug class still in investigation across a litany of other chronic skin diseases. This conversation with Dr. King that we share today came on the heels of an HCP Live State of Science Summit panel he chaired for us this fall, during which the dominating topic of discussion among he and his peers was, you guessed it, ruxolitinib cream. Here we return to Dr. King's thoughts on how the one and only vitiligo drug altered dermatology in 2022. We hope you enjoy.
Okay, so Dr. King, really appreciate your time on the subject of the recent State of Science seminar that you helped lead us on HCP Live about a week or so ago with some of your colleagues. Obviously, the discussion of vitiligo has been bolstered by excellent news in this past year. We just came off of a discussion with alopecia where a similar thing, a lot of great news happening in clinical dermatology right now, but vitiligo really stood out as getting a headline development with the ruxolitinib cream FDA approval earlier this year. So when we're making a discussion around vitiligo, we tend to head towards the positivity there, but wanted to start off and ask if you could just give some highlights from the seminar. What really stood out to you to your own and your colleagues' presentation and discussion around the subject of managing the disease?
Yeah, it was Dr. Okoye, chair at Howard. She wasn't able to join us, but she had provided some really great slides that I was able to present. I think we all need to, take a step back at times like this when we have this huge breakthrough to kind of measure what we know and what we don't know, right? It's very easy day after day to go to clinic. There's a pace of clinic and at some point we kind of stop learning and sometimes we just kind of forget some of the basics because again, we don't have a lot to offer patients. And there's not anything new to remind us of what we've forgotten or what we need to know. And so with Dr. Okoye's presentation, we were able to kind of go back to some of the basics and kind of review the epidemiology, the clinical presentation, the different types of vitiligo. And then with Dr. David Rosmarin's talk, and Dr. David Rosmarin, notably, he's the person who did it was his idea to do the proof of concept study, the original proof of concept study with ruxolitinib, 1.5% cream in vitiligo. So it was great to have him there to present those results, which have now, of course, completely developed. Yeah. But it was just, it was this great group of folks to really kind of like remind us where we're coming from and show us where we're going to.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you mentioned Dr. Rosmarin's presence and discussion there. A distinct memory from AAD 2022 this year was the presentation of the phase 3 trial to it's a pretty jam-packed room, those late-breaking data, the visual aspect as well of the benefit that patients encountered with treating that for their vitiligo was pretty shocking, like a collective gasp in the room. So it was a pretty cool moment. So it's excellent to see and really sets a new ceiling for capability of treating this disease on the basis of discussions like this, as you said, this moment of recollection and reflection on what we've gotten to as an accomplishment. It's also great to also look ahead to like, okay, now what? And I guess I would pose that specific question to you now, Dr. King, like now what else do we want to learn about ruxolitinib, this JAK inhibitor drug class for vitiligo, our capabilities in treating the disease itself?
I mean, really important. And this, you know, kind of circles back to an earlier conversation we had about alopecia areata. You know, one of the really great things about these sorts of advancements is we learn a lot about the disease that we didn't know what we didn't know. And one of the really key things that have come from the ruxolitinib clinical trials is it takes time to treat this disease. You have to tell people this is going to take months. You know, it's one of these things where we have a little bit of ADD in dermatology, right? The biologics for psoriasis, our treatments for atopic dermatitis, they work lickety-split. Yeah. We can erase red skin. We can erase plaques of psoriasis literally in weeks. We cannot repigment the skin in weeks. It takes months. And this is one of the really great learnings from the ruxolitinib clinical trials is we need to go into this eyes wide open. We need to tell our patients, look, this is going to be a 6 to 12 month long process. You have to do it twice a day, not once a day, but twice a day. But if you do those things, there's tremendous, you know, reward at the end. And so again, you know, like huge excitement, a lot of learning, and we need to bring all this together to optimize, you know, benefits and treatment success for our patients.
Absolutely. If we were to, I guess, propose or pitch a follow-up seminar, maybe a year from now on a similar subject within vitiligo, I guess, what would you like to see to have been accomplished relevant to, you know, research progression, treatment progression at that time?
Honestly, like I want to spend time in this moment. I want to spend time. But your question is a good one. And so I'm actually going to, my answer is not, I want to see, you know, a pipeline with four new things. What I want to see a year from now is that all of us seeing patients have learned this really important thing, and that is it takes time. The number of new patients I see who were given a small tube of topical calcineurin inhibitor that they used for 8 weeks and it didn't do anything, and so they stopped, it's really disheartening,
right?
It takes months.
And so really
in a year, what I want is for all of us to be, you know, really advancing our knowledge and our sophistication in the care of these patients, so that we're saying, you know, oh geez, by the way, this takes time, and oh geez, you know, if we add light, you're probably going to do better faster, right? And by the way, you know, your fingers aren't going to repigment, and your lips aren't going to repigment, and you know, if you have, you know, predominantly white hair, you know, in vitiligo lesions, you're probably not going to, you know, I want for this approval to advance the way we take care of, the way we talk to our patients, the way we counsel them.
Excellent. Yeah, I think that's an excellent next step. I mean, sometimes it feels a bit obvious that that's where it should go. But at other times, it's like you have to fight that intuition of like, okay, what more? What else can we get to? As we're just discussing with alopecia, this is right. A long-term treatment, which is excellent, but it needs to be treated as, it's not complete yet. We got to keep moving on it.
Right. And again, it's right. We we're so busy, and at some point we forget really important lessons. And so, so again, this is the time to slow down, you know, take stock of this new knowledge, this new therapy. What did we learn from the clinical trials? And again, just sort of really like advance our own sophistication, and advance the care of these patients.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a really great sentiment and, you know, evidence that that's what's going to get us to the next step of optimizing care for patients with vitiligo. So thank you so much, Dr. King. Is there anything else you want to add relevant to your guys' discussion in the symposium, which was, again, really great?
You know, I think it's just like this is an unbelievably exciting time. You know, it's where you started. And 2022 has brought two new therapies for moderate to severe atopic dermatitis, abrocitinib and upadacitinib. It brought the first ever treatment for severe alopecia areata, baricitinib. It brought the first ever treatment for vitiligo, ruxolitinib, 1.5% cream. It brought, just a couple of weeks ago, an effective oral therapy for psoriasis, deucravacitinib, all JAK inhibitors.
Yeah.
And you know, this is something I've been talking about now for, you know, I think 6 years at the AAD. I've been giving talks, and, you know, I've been mystified a little bit in the last couple of years that, you know, people keep coming to the talks because, you know, I keep saying like, oh, we're here to talk about the future. And at some point, nobody wants to talk about the future when the future never comes. Holy cow, 2022 was the year of the JAK inhibitor. I mean, it's just, it's incredible. We're able to do things that we have not been able to do before with this class of medicines. And so it's just really fun.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't know how Derm can really top it in terms of new developments this year, if only just for the fact that I guess you can continue to top it because you're there, you're at a new summit. So yeah, it's really been an excellent win of a year for clinical dermatology advancement. So thank you so much for highlighting so much of it with us, Dr. King. Really do appreciate you jumping on to discuss both alopecia and vitiligo with us back to back here. Just really appreciate your time and insight as always.
My pleasure. Thanks for the opportunity.
Absolutely.
Thanks again to Dr. King for his insights earlier this year and all the dermatology experts and investigators who helped us navigate an exceptionally busy 2022. For more end-of-year reflections and this year in medicine entries, be sure to check us out at hcplive.com and find us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. From HCP Live's Doc Talk, I'm Kevin Kunzman. Thanks for listening, and happy holidays.